Well, good morning. Good morning. Boy, it sure is good to see you this morning. Good to see this number. And any visitors that's here, please make yourself at home. We're glad to have you and happy that you're here with us. And good to see Mr. Allen back there also. Wanted to say hello to him. And he's the one who provided that meal for us back during Helene, if you remember. And I told him we still appreciated that. And just good to see him. He said, this is his home away from home. I said, it's good to have one of those, and I'm thankful it's here. Thankful that all of you are here this morning. It's a blessing, and just really been looking forward to continuing on in our study that we started, I guess, a couple of or so weeks ago. I guess this will be Signs Part 3, just kind of keeping it simple. And what we've been talking about, actually maybe having a better understanding of what we're seeing going on in the world today. We get bits and pieces maybe of things that we heard in the past, and you kind of cross and say, now where are we exactly on this timeline? And the Bible teaches us that we're not going to have an exact pinpoint. Only God the Father knows that day and time that he's going to send his son back to come get us. But at the same time, I think there's some things we can look at and we can learn from because the Bible put it in there. The Lord put it in there for a reason, and I told Brandy this morning, we were just talking about it, the Bible, we're talking about church in general, and God gave us everything that we need to know and he wanted us to know. When you think about how to function as a church and how to keep our eyes on things in these last days, the end times, God gave us everything that we needed. We just need to stay in it and stay faithful with it. And I think that's an important thing for us to do. If you will, let's turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel 37. I kind of want to continue on and, Lord willing, get on into 38 and 39 maybe next Sunday. But I wanted to continue on and just maybe go through the first half of this chapter. But it kind of is very much a continuation of what we did last Sunday where we were at, talking about this coming together. But while you're turning there, I did want to say a special thank you this morning to Brother Tim Moritz, or let me get it right. I always want to say Moritz, but let me get it right. Tim Moritz, there's a difference. He's explained, so I wanted to say how much I appreciate him and the help he is to me, the encouragement is he is to me, and then also for his time that he spent as our Sunday school superintendent. But also very thankful for Brother Curtis, and he's stepping in and taking over the charge with that responsibility. We appreciate that. Brother, you'll learn and you'll grow a lot. I tell you, it's a blessing. I remember filling in and being in that spot for some time, and I learned and I grew a lot. And the Lord uses things like that to help us and to teach us. But I appreciate these men and wanted to make note of that this morning. And something, I do try to find analogies and things to kind of get our minds going sometimes. And the Lord gave me one this morning as far as this goes, because I think it's very fitting to explain this, because it's important that our minds be framed right. So how many of you like to go to theme parks? I didn't know if I'd see a lot. Yeah, okay, the little, yeah. Yeah, there's a few. I used to. They make me dizzy now. It's been a while since I've been on one. How many of you like roller coasters? No. Gosh, I need a new analogy. The young people are going to get this. I don't know. Some of the little ones, I think they're going to get it pretty good. But I was thinking about this. Okay, now this is an old one. How many of you been to Carowinds? A few more hands. I thought that. How many of you remember Thunder Hill? Thunder Road. It's been a long time. Okay, so we kind of remember that. So, and I'm sure there's other roller coasters like that. But if you remember kind of how it started, you're sitting there and you're kind of nervous. I was very nervous sitting there. And some people want on the front, some people want on the back, some people want it off. And I get that after they saw the other people come in, their hair all, you know, kind of doing that thing or whatever. But I remember going up that and riding that, it was just click, 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 click. And it was like forever. And it was like, are we ever going to get there? And the longer it took, the more nervous I got. And everybody else, you can kind of see it build, the excitement, you know. Especially the first time people that didn't know. The other people like, I know what's getting ready to happen. You know, I know what's getting ready to happen. So they're kind of ready for it. But you just keep clicking, and it seemed like it was forever. And we kept climbing, and there's two sets, and you're watching them sometimes, and all that kind of stuff. And you get up, and when you get to the top, it's like everything stops for just a second. It's like for just a second you're there.
And then when you cliff over the hill or you go over the hill, it's almost like you're going backwards almost. It's like it's so steep, it's almost like you can't even see the bottom. I just remember that was the weirdest thing. And I wanted to give that to you this morning because that is very much what Ezekiel 36 and 37 is kind of like. Because what you have is something very much in what I would say in our time, very much slow motion, but building up in anticipation. Because as you see this here, this coming back together, you go back, you think about back in, when the temple was destroyed by the Babylonians, by the Romans, the time it was destroyed, and so that was taken down, and by the anticipation of the building of the third temple, it's been a long time, and it's a long time coming. I believe if you look in the news today, you're going to see everything is already just, I mean, it's falling in line. The blueprints are there. The red heifers are there that they use for sacrificing and using to cleanse the temple and cleanse the ceremonies with the ashes of the red heifer. I believe they've already sacrificed one in preparation, in practice. See, this has to be done exactly right. If there's one hair out of that cow that's out of place, it's not perfect. And they've already inspected those. They've got the perfect ones in place, and that's there. They've got some of the furniture, some of the instruments that's used in the temple already in place. Blueprints, I've learned this week that the cornerstones, the stones are even set in place or starting to be set in place. I mean, a lot of stuff is happening. A lot of stuff is going on. But if you look from the time the second temple was destroyed up to now, we feel like we're just moving in such slow motion. But I want you to kind of see that today. The Bible here today in Ezekiel 37, it really paints this picture. It really shows how it is and what it's like, what it is, what it's like, what it's going to be like. But I think you're going to see the gravity and the speed of it. And also, if you've been keeping up with current events, I think you'll notice there was 5 pretty drastic earthquakes in Russia this morning. I woke up to that this morning. I think there were 5 in about a span of about an hour or so apiece, 6 point, 7 point on the Richter scale, so pretty big ones. And I think it also put, I think it was Alaska, Hawaii, it also put some other states or what have you, locations on a warning or watch for tsunamis. You know, that's what earthquakes can cause. So a lot is going on in the weather. In this week here, earlier on this week, Brandy would ask me about every morning, what's the weather look like this morning? And you can probably already start laughing there. And we'd ask Alexa. Alexa would say, sunny, warm, with the chance of thunderstorms. And by the time we got to Friday, you know what Alexa said? Thunderstorms. That's all it said. You know it's coming. She knew it was coming. So that's how it was. So that's how it is. But you see, a lot of this weather, it seems like it's kind of different this day and time, but I believe that's for a reason. But we'll start in Ezekiel 37. We'll look at the first 3 verses, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer and get started this morning. Verse 1, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for those who are here with us today. God, I thank you so much for your word and just how you guide us and you lead us through your word, Lord. And I appreciate that so much, God, that we have a way to follow the way, you, Lord, the way, the truth, and the life, God. I just thank you so much for that. And God, I just pray and ask, Lord, that you guide us here today. God, my heart, Lord, help me to speak clearly and not out of context in any way, God. And I'm just so excited and thankful for what you've given to us. I'm thankful, Lord, for the spirit this morning and the wonderful singing and time together, God, and the time of fellowship, Lord. I thank you for that. I thank you for our church, Lord, and what you're doing. God, I pray and I sincerely ask for your protection and, God, that you keep your hedge around us, God, and keep us safe. I know, Lord, I know in my heart, and I believe others know, Lord, that the devil would love nothing more than to try to hinder things and mess things up. But God, I just pray that you bind him and you keep him away. God, that we would follow you and just ever more learn about you, God, and your word. And help us to see and understand what you'd have us to in these books of prophecy, God. I know that can be very intimidating and confusing maybe at times, Lord, but I pray and ask that you set the path and you keep the context in order, God. We're putting our faith and our confidence in you. We want to learn and grow from you, God, and it's of no private interpretation. We're seeking you and your help, the help of the sweet Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those who are here today, Lord, anyone that's lost. God, I pray and ask that you convict hearts, Lord. Help them to see that need. Lord, help them to understand it, God, and bring them, Lord, bring them through conviction. Lord, that's how it works, God. We're trusting in you. God, help us all here today. God, that one that might be walking a little far away from you, God, we pray, Lord, that they get closer today. God, we pray that your will be done. Lord, ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. So I want to say this here. In the Old Testament, the Lord used signs. He used visions. He used things like that. We know in these last days, he speaks to us through his Son, through his Word. And I just want to tell you, if somebody says, you know, I had a vision or whatever, I'd be very leery of that. And I just want to go ahead and say that here right now. This is a different time, a different dispensation. This dispensation, God has given us his Word that we can follow. Every single one of us can follow it. We don't have to wait for somebody else to tell us. We can study it and are supposed to ourselves. But during this time period, this is how the Lord would deal with his prophets. He would meet with them. He would tell them, and he would deal with them in this way, and he would show them things. And I tell you, of all the prophets, looking back, when I think about Ezekiel, he probably had to scratch his head a whole lot, saying, I really don't understand what I'm saying and what I'm seeing. Many of the things that he says, I think really to us in this day and time, is probably more clear to us than it was to him. And that really shows you the effectiveness of the Bible, of the Word of God, and how it is coming together. When I look at the subscription to this chapter here, it says it's the resuscitation of a nation. It's talking about Israel. I want us to know that this morning. This isn't directed toward the church. This is directed to the nation of Israel specifically. But I want you to know and understand there's absolutely a practical application to this, but there is also very much needed spiritual application that you'll find in these verses this morning. I believe it will help every single one of us if we'll take it to heart and kind of grasp what it's saying. But we see here in these first three verses, it sets the stage of this vision, of this prophecy that the Lord is giving unto Ezekiel. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was upon me. We know who's given it. It's secured. It's solid information. It's not something he's getting secondhand from somebody that can't be trusted. It shows directly that the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit. If there is something more in this day and time that we need to be trusting in, that we need to be following, it's the Spirit. It's not our hearts. It's not our thoughts. It's not in the opinions of popularity or anything like that. We need to be Spirit-led through and through. I tell you, if we start trying to think for ourselves and get on the wrong path, or we try to start following our hearts in some way, you better be careful. It'll lead you down the wrong road. And what we're seeing here, the importance of who is giving the direction. The hand of the Lord was upon Ezekiel and carried him out in the Spirit of the Lord and set him down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. Now, to me, that would be intimidating. That would be scary. That would be very sad to me if I realized the location in which I was at. Now, I think back, I try to think and envision. I couldn't imagine what this would be like for these prophets in the Old Testament, but you imagine going to a place that you've been before, a place that you know very well, your homeland, you're there very well, and all you see is a bunch of dead bones, a bunch of dry bones. Now, that to me would not be encouraging at all. My mind would be thinking, what happened? What happened here? Are you foretelling the destruction of this place? Hey, I recognize this place. This looks like my homeland. And we've spoke many times the last few weeks about how important the nation, the land of Israel is to Israel, the children of Israel, because God gave it to them, the importance of that. Now you imagine he is here in the midst of these bones, and it caused me to pass by round about them, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. You know, that's a sad thing for me to think about. You know, just thinking about your land in desolation, We've had so much rain just here lately, it seems like, and Brother Raymond and I, we talked about it just so fast. It's like the rain just comes so fast, we get more flooding than actual just what you say, just a good soaking rain, wiping out and causing erosion in different places, all that kind of stuff. It's like the weather has changed. So it might be hard to maybe think in the moment what it's like to be dry, but I remember a time. As I was studying this, I remember one time that I believe and pretty 99% sure that I was actually dehydrated. And that was scary. It scared me. Back where we used to live, off of 194, I had just about as much weed eating as I did mowing. And so I could mow one half the yard. Then we had a creek bed that had come up on the other side that was at the roadway. And if I was standing down in the creek, I mean, the road was up taller than me. So it was a lot. I could mow probably in a couple hours, but I'd have to weed eat probably a couple or more hours just to try to get it done. And you know how it is sometimes. You're getting close. And I wanted my yard to look right. I wanted the stripes to look right and all that. And I was finished in the weed eating. And I had this one little strip left. And I thought, man, I'm tired. I just want to go home. But if I go home, I'm not going to finish this strip. So I think I've got to finish this. So I went ahead and I finished it. And by the time I got done, I was almost crawling back to the house. I was beat. See, I was doing all the things, I was working, but I was not hydrated. I was dry. I called Brandy. I don't know if she remembers that. I called her that day. I said, something's wrong. She said, well, drink something with sugar in it. Drink something, eat something. So I was eating bananas and finding orange juice and all that kind of good stuff, you know, and finally kind of settled down. I was like, you know what? I was dehydrated. I was working and doing all the things, but I was dehydrated. So you think about if you've ever had a time that you've been dry, think about that right now. That's what Ezekiel was seeing. It was a dry time in the nation. Remember, this was a time when Israel was being scattered about because of their disobedience. Now think about this. What caused the drought? What caused the dryness? What caused the hard time? You know, God didn't just send this to them just to be sending it. It wasn't just because he wanted to do that. It's not because that he was unduly giving judgment or passing judgment on his own people. It served a purpose. They were dry because of their disobedience, because they were not doing what God told them to do. I wanted to share that this morning to kind of start off, because if you feel dry this morning, you just know it's something probably that needs to take place on your side. You know, you can be going through the motions and doing things, but if you don't have that hydration on the inside, you know I'm talking about the Holy Spirit, then you're kind of doing it on your own. You'll dry up. We're not geared to do things on our own. We're geared to do things through the Holy Spirit. He's the one. The Holy Spirit is the one who offers the hydration. That's how he works and how he moves. That's how you know if you're doing the work of the Lord or you're doing the work of yourself. You'll run out. Ask Elijah, ask the widow woman, if you're doing the work of the Lord, it'll never run out. Ask her about a little meal barrel, it'll never run out. There's a way that the Lord does things, and it's because he gets the glory and he gets the honor out of it, not like us. Verse number 2, and it says, and cause me to pass around about, and behold, there are very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. He's seeing these bones. So the Lord allowed him, carried him in the spirit to see these things. He saw these bones that were dry in the middle of this land. And now the Lord asked him a question. I thought that was interesting when you listen to who's doing the talking and what questions are being asked. He said here, and he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, I said, O Lord God, thou knowest. You know, you're looking at this. This is Israel and their desolation. The disobedience that they had, the judgment that they had followed so many years. You go through the book of Judges, they would do wrong. They'd do what was in their own eyes, what was right in their own eyes. They would follow that path and do that. God would send a judge. They would be judged. They would listen to the judge. They would get right, and they'd be right for a span. But that cycle happened over and over and over. This is talking about Israel, but you and I here today, you know the same thing can happen to us spiritually. We have one foot in, we have one foot out. We're kind of on fire today, we get cold tomorrow. Sometimes we even blame God for it. Why is God so far away? Why is he so far away? Well, he doesn't move, he changes not. We're the ones that do the moving. We're the ones that decide if we're in this thing or not, and
and not having our whole heart involved is what gets us in trouble. You talk about the dry times that comes. Let me tell you, the Lord is the one who sends the rain, and you can have rain even during the driest of times if you want it. There's no reason why any child of God should not be hydrated all the time. I believe that. I believe that. I believe with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the child of God can have that anytime they want. And a matter of fact, they already do, but they can't always feel it or see it. But he's in there. The lifeline is in there. Think about that. But now here the Lord is asking Ezekiel, do you think these bones can live? What can Ezekiel say? All he could say probably is what he is seeing. I'm seeing the state of how things are now, the state of this nation, these bones. I see how bad they are. Lord, I don't know. I have no idea if they'll ever live again, but Lord, you know. I think a question we have in the church today sometimes is, Lord, will we ever have revival again? And what could I say? Lord, thou knowest. I don't know in and of myself, but you know what I've come to find out? Anytime that I want to get closer to the Lord and have a time of revival, he'll meet me and he'll give it to me. I think the answer sometimes of this question lies within ourselves. Do we want it? Do we want it? I tell you, is that a burden of, and something that we pray for, something that we desire? Because if the Lord sees that in our heart and we ask him for it, I believe he'll answer that prayer. If we stand back and just kind of, again, one foot in and one foot out and just kind of looking around, all we can say is, Lord, you know, I don't know. I don't know. But I tell you, if you want to meet with him, he'll meet with you this morning. He'll meet you where you are. And he will take you where you need to be. But I believe I see here in these first three verses, I see here the question is being asked and then the answer given by Ezekiel, but then it goes on a little bit further. That's the beautiful thing about God is he is never without a plan. He always has a plan. And if he is your plan A, you don't need a plan B. You just stay with him. Now we see here in verse 4, we hear the word of the Lord. This is a proclamation. It says, again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. So he's crying out on these bones, Ezekiel. And the Lord is saying, Ezekiel, you cry on these bones, these dead bones that you see laying around. You cry on them. You prophesy to them. You preach to them. You proclaim to them what I'm getting ready to tell you. That's what he's saying. And you look at verse number 5. You see here, you see the breath of God. Every step of this process is 100% relying on the power, the breath of God. And I want you to know this morning, our church is 100% relying on the very same thing. The absolute same thing. There's no other way of doing it. There's no other way of going around about it. If you don't have the power, the presence, and the breath of God on you, you're hurting. And you'll never move forward. You'll never move forward. You'll stay in the same sad condition. But I see here, we see the breath of God in verse number 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. I find hope in that verse. I think maybe if it were me seeing this, probably seeing it would be a lot more devastating than me trying to explain it to you. But Ezekiel's seen that, but you're saying, Lord, there's hope. You're telling me this isn't the end. You're not showing me just the devastation that I will go back and tell Israel it's all over. This is your end. But he's saying, you have hope. He's saying, you tell these bones, you tell these people, you tell them that there is hope, that you can live again, but it's going to take the breath of God. See, we go through the motions about things, and we know sometimes what needs to be done, and we do those things, but that why is the most important thing in your life. You have to know the why. It used to aggravate me a whole lot training somebody or trying to train somebody. Well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Brother Tim, you say, well, just do what I'm telling you, and you'll see why. But you know, it's not bad to ask the why sometimes. I don't think God minds us to ask the why. He wants us to know the why we're doing what we're doing. I think that's why he burdens people the way that he does when he wants them to do something, take on a role or do something for him. There has to be a burden there. A person's not going to be willing to see it through. They're not going to follow him like they're supposed to if they're not burdened enough to do so. But he's telling him here, again, that the breath is going to enter into these bones and that they're going to live
again. You see the breath of God in verse number 5. Now, verse number 6. This, I want us to think about that roller coaster again. Look what it says here. It says, "And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." You see that process? That is a slow, gradual process. Preacher, how do you know that? How can you say that? How do you know it's just not an immediate process? Because it's still ongoing and it's been ongoing for years. Very rarely what I've found, maybe sometimes, but very rarely what I've found in my life that God moves just fast all the time. A lot of times in my life, Sister Holly, I feel like the Lord is like I'm trying to pull him along, like, come on, we got to do this. And he's like, no, just wait, wait. When you need to be where I'm placing you, I will already be there. I know the way to get there. Just trust me. I'm clearing this path for you. It's going to be right when you get there. Just be patient. Just thinking about it, very rarely do people say, Lord, slow down. A lot of times, like, Lord, speed up. This is a slow process. You think back and you plug this in. Again, I'm trying to do this where it makes sense. You plug this in to where it fits on our timeline. We're using in Matthew 24, and you go back and you look about this nation shall not pass, this people shall not pass until they see these things come. Well, you go back to 1948 when Israel became a nation. That's what this is going back to. This is that pinpoint on the timeline. So that's what, 77 years, if I've done my math right, 70 some years. See, to me, that's kind of, I've not lived 77 years. But you think back, though, you see how fast how that has played out. But you go back to the time that the temple was destroyed, you're talking thousands of years. That's slow motion from the time that Israel was scattered abroad because of their disobedience to Aliyah taking place and that calling back. That's a slow period. You think about that. You don't see, it's not that the sinews and the skin and everything's going on at the same time. It is a slow moving process, but the Lord is allowing it to come back. You see, what Ezekiel was preaching about here, what he was prophesying about here, maybe he couldn't fully see and understand, but you and I, we're looking at it today. You think about how the nation was divided. You had the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom, but you see that come together in the war of 67, the Six-Day War. You see him coming back united. All these things are coming back together. That's a sinew being placed back on the bones. All these pieces. You see it coming together, and we get to see it. You think about the generations before us that had the Word of God and was reading this and trying to make understanding of it, but you and I get to see the bones and the sinews actually coming back together. That's a blessing. That excites me because that only just goes to show and prove for anybody that doesn't already know that the Word of God is true. It's unfolding right before our eyes. Continually. You can turn on the news. If you can read between the lines, you'll see the Word of God being fulfilled as we go. Very interesting here. You see the gradual growth from God. That's how it is in our personal lives. I've seen that. You know, sometimes it's like you have a desire for something. Anybody have any desires that they'd like to see the Lord do in their life? I mean, that's okay. Now, I'm not telling you to follow your heart, but I think He will give you desires to have in your heart if you put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what the Bible teaches. So if you're seeking Him first, He'll give you the desires that you're supposed to have. He knows how we're made. The Bible also teaches us without a vision, the people perish. We're supposed to be heading somewhere constantly. Now, the ultimate goal is heaven, amen? I mean, that's where we're headed. If you've accepted Him, that's where you're going, and that's the desire. But, you know, throughout life, He gives us goals to meet. He gives us things to do and things to experience so we can grow in Him. And I see that growth that He's talking about here. And as you follow through life, I see the importance of what He's got. He's talking about this breath coming back in, and you shall live and you shall know that I'm the Lord. And when I see that, you shall know that I'm the Lord, I don't know how many times, but that's the key phrase that you'll find in Ezekiel. That's what He's doing for the non-believers and the believers alike.
and the children of God, the children of Israel, to know alike that He is the Lord. That's what He wants us to know. He wants us to see that in our lives today. As you're going through life and maybe through an unfulfilling time, and then the Lord gives you direction and you follow Him and He gives you a fulfilling time, you know what that's for? For you to know that He is the Lord. That's what that's for. He's just that good to us if you're willing to seek Him out. But I want you to know, you see the gradual growth of God in verse number 6. It's a slow-moving process sometimes. But if you're following Him, He's taking you somewhere. I want you to know that this morning. You can trust Him. If you're following Him, He is taking you somewhere. Look at verses 7 through 10. I'll hurry along. We're getting there. We're getting there this morning. We're going somewhere. We're almost to the top of the roller coaster, okay? We're getting there. We're getting there. Verse number 7, it says, "And so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them." Boy, that's pretty telling right there, isn't it? I thought about that verse a whole lot. All I see here is the shell of a person. That's all I see. You see all these things coming together. You see all these bones come together, these sinews come together. You have the shell of the skin that's on these people. All these things come together, but something is still missing. And church, that's how I feel about where we're at today. Sometimes I just feel like something is still missing. It's like part of us are here, part of us are not here, but something is still missing. And I see it all here in the Word of God. And he's talking about Israel here. "But there was no breath in them." So you have these bodies, but there's no breath. Where does the power come from? The breath. How many of you have heard pneumatic? Pneumatic tools. That's what I think of when I think pneumatic. Pneumonia. That talks about air. What happens if you have the pneumatic tool, but you don't have it hooked up to a compressor? What do you have? A shell of a tool. See, that's the same thing I see when you talk about it today. This is making an application to Israel and the nation of Israel, but making application to you and me. If you and I are not hooked up to the air machine, we are just a shell with no power. We're just an inanimate object. I'm going to get that wrong. We're not moving. We're not doing the way we're supposed to. But you see the importance of it here. "There was no breath in them." Verse number 9. "Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind." You see the wind from God. "Prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe upon them, upon the slain, that they may live." See, it takes the power and the breath of God for any of us to live. I think about his church, you think about revival and things like that, it's going to take the breath of God or it won't happen. That's where revival comes from. And I want to say this too, thinking about movement and things move. You know, a lot of times if you think about wind, you think about air compressor, I'll use that again. Sometimes we use that to move things. Like a leaf blower. You turn a leaf blower on, it's to blow something away. It's to scatter things away. It's to push things away. But you know what is interesting about what I see here about the wind and the breath of God? It actually brings people together. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. He has ways of breathing life into these people, and he's blowing it together. He's bringing it together. "He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breathe breath upon the slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army." Well, you see that as the stage is being set for the end, and looking at things there as things coming together before we get to Gog and Magog next time. But you see how this is coming back together. This is talking about Israel coming back together as a nation. They're coming back to their homeland. This is already taking place. I hadn't looked at the census yet to see. Maybe I can look at that this week and see. But more and more are returning home. more and more are going back to their homeland of Israel. And you think about this, and we'll talk more about this soon. There's a lot of different little things to talk about, one intending to today. But when you see them come back together, this army being together, then you're going to have nations that's going to surround this army. Nations are going to come against Israel. Things are building and going in that direction. But you see the wind of God putting them back together, and they have life again. Boy, I tell you, I love being in a place where I feel like life. When the choir's singing like they have been, I tell you, I feel the presence of God in that. And that's what blesses my soul. That's what uplifts me. You don't get that out in the world. You don't get that in these other places. But that's how you have the power to move on and continue on as a Christian and not be just dry. You're not going to hear singing like that in the grocery stores, in Walmart, out and about, in the car. You're not going to hear that. You get that in the house of God. You get that around God's people. The importance of being together. These last few verses here, I just want to go 11 through 14. I'll be closing after this. But now look at what you see here. This is what it all comes back together around. You think about the Spirit of God, the power from it, the importance of it. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, this is Israel, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. They're saying we have no hope. You look at the nation now. You look at where we're leading into now. It has always been, will always be. I think it's about the size of New Jersey. I believe that's what I understand size-wise. You see how small it is when you talk about Israel. I don't care if it's the news or if it's the Bible. You talk about Israel, they usually talk about how small it is. And you think about all these other nations that's going to surround Israel. And you see even this right here, they say, they even in of themselves, they don't sound very convinced, do they? They don't sound revived, do they? What do you think the church would say today if this question was asked? What they being the church, what's the church saying today? Do you see that power, that presence where we would want to be as a church? Think about the church of brotherly love, Philadelphia. You think we're there? You think we're getting into the church of Laodicea? Lukewarm, kind of in, kind of out. Lack of fire. They say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Verse number 12, therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. I'm going to bring you back home, the promised land that I've given unto you. And look what he says here in verse number 14. And I will put my spirit in you. That's enough right there. You think about the church today. I know we're talking about Israel, but I can't help, friends, church, to see the parallel that I see here. And I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I shall place you on your own land, then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. You see, that's the thing he wants us to see in our lives. He's talking to Israel here. One day this is going to come to be. This is going to take place. This is going to happen. But a lot of times I see a lot of sorrow. I see a lot of sadness. I see a lot of defeat in God's people. And I know that hard things happen in our lives, bad things happen, I would say unfair things happen in our life, but should there not be a little bit of joy in there for the Lord? Wait. Yeah. Amen. You know, I know I've not faced total devastation and some things, but you know, as hard things has happened in my life, what I've been able to see through those things, God is still there. And He never left me. And He never forsook me. You know, I have the best friends in the world, and you should say that too. Amen. You should say that too. Some of the best friends in the world. But you know, I have found we don't always see eye to eye. And we might disagree on things, what have you, but I don't know. There's something about when I get around God and I start talking to Him and I pour my heart out to Him, He listens like nobody else. And even when I'm having a hard, sad time, He has a way of picking me up. You know what that's through? It's through His Spirit.
I tell you, church, I get excited when I see what he's doing. This, you see everything coming together. You see everything coming to a head. When's it happening? I don't know, but I see it. I see it coming to a head. That speaks to my spirit. That speaks to my heart, and I get excited about it. And I want you to be excited about it too. I mean, if you're saved, you have everything to look forward to. Everything. You have the Spirit of God to guide you. You have the Word of God to study and to guide you. You have what you need if you want to take it. But if you're lost this morning, you're missing out on that. And you need that. This breath that he's talking about, when you're lost, a lost person, you're only a two-thirds person. You're a body and a mind. You're a body and a soul. But you know what you're lacking? You're lacking the Spirit of God in your heart. That's what he's talking about here. When he's talking about rejuvenating, resuscitating the nation of Israel and bringing them back to what he intended, if you're here lost this morning, he intends you to accept him. That's what he wants. He wants to resuscitate you. He wants to bring you into a new life. If you're here this morning and you're walking away from him and you feel like you need to be closer, you can. You can be filled with that Spirit. You just got to come to him and ask him. I don't know how to make it any plainer. You say, I've talked to people at length before. And it's interesting to watch it. The answer in my mind is very straightforward and clear. Run it to Jesus as fast as you can and lay it all out there and let him fix it. But you know what happens with people? Well, I don't know. They kind of do this. They just kind of go back and forth, back and forth. And they stay in that condition. You don't have to stay in that condition. You don't have to. You don't have to. All you have to do this morning is bring it to him and give it to him, whatever it is, and he can fix it. He can bring it back to life for you. If you will, stand with me this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. I ask Sister Alice if she'll come to the piano this morning. We'll have a time of invitation. Father, I thank you for your word and what it does for us, God. I thank you for what I felt in my heart, Lord. In studying this out, God, I just thank you so much that the power of God can be upon us, God. It's in us, that inner dwelling, God, that you've given to us, that we can feel it and know, God, that we're alive and we can learn from that and grow from that, God. I thank you for what you're doing in Israel, what you're doing.